This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
CBS Sports Radio.
Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, the morning show is back on CBS Sports Radio. Hello again, folks. It's going to be a fun one tonight because, you know, usually you come in and, like, there's a hot topic and we're diving deep into whatever game just happened, a big trade, whatever it is. There's usually, like, that high energy, big moment thing you got to dissect. We got to talk about the future of this and that. And what does it say about this player or that player? The drama. Like, there's a lot of that that goes into a typical night doing this kind of thing. But I want to hit a whole different speed tonight because I got to tell you, this is today. This is a big one. Peyton Manning's going into the Hall of Fame tomorrow. That's happening. And for this weekend, there's just oodles of Hall of Famers. Oodles, because it's fun to say oodles. I'm gonna try to work oodles into the show as much as I can tonight. There were oodles of Hall of Famers. There will be oodles of oodles tonight. But thinking about, for me, Peyton Manning and what Peyton Manning has meant to me as a fan of the NFL, for how I began to understand the game, I mean, Peyton Manning to me is everything. That guy is my childhood. Like, I watched that guy. For me, growing up, you know, I'm born in the late 80s, and by the time I'm just starting to get a feel for things, like, I remember Brett Favre winning his Super Bowl. I think it was over the Patriots in 96, something like that. Like, I have those little glimpses in my head. I remember Super Bowl parties. I remember certain moments, Elway in the helicopter. Like, certain things, I have those little bits and pieces. But as I got old enough to start really appreciating things, understanding how the game is played, starting to learn players all around the league, really getting invested in teams around the league, learning the coaches, the styles of play, learning the history of everything. It's just, as I got into all of that, Peyton Manning was becoming the guy. He was becoming the guy of guys, right? Because you have, when you're thinking about faces of the NFL, it was Brett Favre around that time, right? It's Brett Favre, gunslinging Brett Favre, running up and down the field, throwing interceptions like crazy, big, fun, wild plays, just the radical Wild West experience of Brett Favre football. He was the guy on video games. He was the guy that you saw every time they're promoting the season. Like, Brett Favre was the face of the league. And you get this transition to Peyton Manning. And obviously his rookie year, he threw like 5 billion interceptions. But after that, you see the growth that he makes and the way that he becomes this tactician. And what does he become famous for? I mean, on top of just being like the greatest quarterback that could have ever lived as he was beginning his career and really getting going, Peyton Manning was that guy that you'd see him. One word. If you would dissociate one word with Peyton Manning, what would it be?
Omaha!
Right? He said it all the time. It became like this quirky catchphrase, the same way any superhero has something that they'll say. You know, it was Peyton Manning's thing. He said Omaha all the time. He said it for a billion different reasons. It meant a million different things. He might have had in his life full conversations only saying the word Omaha. Omaha. You know what I mean? Like, it meant everything. But to think of that guy behind center and just pointing this way and that way and all the motions and the way he could read a field, his vision, you know, everything about Peyton Manning and watching what he did on the field, like, that's how I began to understand football in a true sense. You know, he was the guy that really gave you that clarity of, like, this is the ultimate form of what the quarterback position should be. Right? Because for Favre, yes, I mean, he's making all the big plays. He's running around. It's wild. It's fun. He won MVPs. He won Super Bowls. But there were very few people that were able to execute a lot of the plays that Brett Favre executed. Right? Like, he was a singular talent in that way. But Peyton Manning was what you wanted every pocket passer to be. You wanted all of them to be this guy. Because of course you did. I mean, the guy came out as the prospect, right? And obviously, and it's funny how everything goes full circle at times because, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you get him with Brett Favre. Now you have Jordan Love with Aaron Rodgers. For Peyton Manning, he's the prospect. Then you have Andrew Luck. He's the prospect. Peyton Manning leaves. But when you think of that prototype, Peyton was the guy. He was the best prospect in forever. He comes into the draft, and sure enough, after a couple of seasons, everybody's looking around and going, yeah, this guy is not just good, but he is absolutely, undeniably amazing and could be, by the time his career's over, the greatest to ever do it. Like, those were the discussions, the number of times in my life. And you probably did this too, right? We all did. It's football in America. I mean, how many times did you sit down when the Colts inevitably played the Patriots in the regular season, when every couple of years they'd play each other in the playoffs, and that Brady and Manning rivalry and what it meant? There was so much at stake in those games. I mean, as much as we look at all the, hey, I mean, every big Monday night matchup, there's big games. Like, there was the Kansas City Rams game maybe 2 years ago. There was that Monday night game. Each team scored 55 points. There were defensive touchdowns. I think there was a special teams touchdown or two. Like, it just, that game had everything. And there was big implications. Some of the biggest teams in the league. NFC, AFC. Is this a Super Bowl matchup? All that kind of stuff. There was a lot baked into that. We have those kinds of games all the time. But when you see Peyton Manning playing Tom Brady at that time, go back to 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. Like, all those years of, where are the scales of this relationship? Who is the best guy? Because early on, I mean, yeah, Brady won the Super Bowl first, and then he ended up winning three before Peyton got one. But there was a good while there where you're saying, even though Brady's won the Super Bowls, Peyton's the better quarterback. That was the argument for a long time. It's been a long time since we've had that argument, But we were there for a while. And all of these games, all these big moments were evaluations in the career and the legacy of Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And to have those moments really every single year, I mean, just unforgettable stuff, right? Like, that's what it's all about, is the kind of guy that is so big, so unignorable, you want to sit down and watch every game that he plays. And for Peyton Manning, he just gave you everything. He gave you everything. And here's what I want to do tonight, okay, is we'll get into some of the stories. I've got stuff. I mean, Josh Allen just got a monster contract. The Vikings look like a complete mess. There's a weird story with Michael Thomas going around. There's some NBA news this week. Like, there's a lot of things. We'll get into some other stuff along the way. But I want to talk about Hall of Famers, man. That's really what I want to do tonight. I just want to talk Hall of Famers. I got Peyton Manning highlights up in front of me right now. I'm going to make YouTube a lot of money tonight. I'm just going to be running highlights for 4 hours. Different Hall of Famers all night. That's all I want to do. Because, like, watching Peyton Manning highlights, right? Going back and watching what he did. I know, and it's obvious to say, yes, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever lived. But when you're watching play after play after play after play after play, and you see all the things that he was able to do. Because obviously, like, for Peyton Manning at that time, when he gets drafted, when he's going and hitting his prime, and even in the later years of his career, like, he's not a running quarterback. He was the prototype of the era. He was the guy that sat in the pocket, knew everything on a mental level that was completely ridiculous. His commitment to the game was completely ridiculous as a communicator, the leadership, all that kind of stuff. And his arm talent is just insane. Like, he really did have everything at that time. Obviously, again, he's slow as can be, always was, you know, at the end of his career, he was moving at a glacial pace, but man, go back and watch the throws, it's incredible, just, and this is one of the things too that, you know, thinking about Aaron Rodgers, for example, Rodgers sort of felt like that evolution of Peyton Manning, he felt like that next step, as much as it was hard to believe there could be one, because I'm watching all these Peyton Manning throws, and you know what he's doing just with ridiculous ease? It's the deep balls down the field. Like, those are the truly great guys. You know what I mean? Those are the best passers that you ever see, are the people that can, with reliability, year in and year out, as receivers change and all that good stuff, coaches change, coordinators change, whatever, as all that comes and goes, they can routinely hit the deep ball. They get it in the right spot of the guy's body. They're getting them in stride, the right angle, throwing it, hey, a little bit higher. Like, those big rainbow balls versus the laser versus everything. I mean, Peyton, he just gave you everything. And watching him do all of that is, it was one of the greatest joys that I've really ever experienced as a fan of the game. It was just watching Peyton play, watching him do his thing, having a drive late in the game where here he is. Okay, there's 7 minutes left. He's going to engineer this long drive. He's pointing. He's saying Omaha 40 times, and here we go. We're off. How soon till he scores? I mean, how much fun was that? How exciting was that? How amazing was that? Because Peyton Manning, I mean, it's going to be weird too. And this is one of the things that I wonder about, and I'd love your feedback on this, is what is the legacy of Peyton Manning? What is it? How are you going to remember him? How should he be remembered? Because I think of Peyton Manning as one of the best to ever do it. But he did compete against Brady, and Brady did ultimately beat him out, and beat him out pretty handily. By the time you get to the end with the record books, I mean, Drew Brees and all the things that he's done, yards, touchdowns, all that kind of stuff, that's gone. So, how does he get remembered? Where does he rank all time, for example? Is he the best at anything? I don't know. I don't know if I can say he's not the best talent I've ever seen. Mahomes is one. Rodgers is two. He's obviously not the most successful quarterback we've ever seen. But his stats are completely ridiculous. His command of the game was completely ridiculous. He threw for 49 touchdowns in like 2004. You just don't see it. It just didn't happen. He broke the game. You know what I mean? Like, he was that caliber player. And to think of him now getting into the Hall of Fame, man, you just think that, like, Peyton Manning was one of the most just overall valuable players to the game. Not just the Colts, not the Broncos. You know, it's just the game in itself. What he gave you as a player. Now what he's given you, just with the stuff he's doing off the field, right? He's run at Peyton's places, which is fantastic if you've never seen that. The way he just represents the sport, he's one of the most recognizable faces in America. The guy is out and about. If you remember, if you were watching at the time, if you were old enough, you remember when he was on Saturday Night Live. Wasn't that amazing? Wasn't that hilarious? Like, that was such a, it was such a great bit, that where he's on the schoolyard and he's sitting there with all these little kids. He's like, hey, I'm Peyton Manning with like the NFL Cares for Kids Foundation or whatever it is. And the little Timmy's going out for a pass and he's pelting Timmy with the football. Timmy, come on! He's cursing him out. These kids like, he's like a six-year-old. It was hysterical. It was an all-time great moment from Saturday Night Live. Peyton Manning did that. And to think of somebody that was so just overwhelmingly complete. Complete. Had everything with his arm. Had everything with the intangibles. He was healthy for the overwhelming majority of his career. He had that neck injury. And eventually that's kind of what led to the demise of him. But he threw 50 touchdowns after that. 55 touchdowns after that in a season. So you have the health. You have all the leadership stuff, right? He was one of those guys that it wasn't a overwhelming me guy. There weren't all these divisive debates like LeBron James of do you like him, do you not like him? Everybody liked Peyton Manning. He was the best ambassador for the game that you could possibly have. And so thinking about him going into the Hall of Fame tonight, it's one of those things where I just want to step back and appreciate the career of Peyton Manning and what did his career mean to you? What is the legacy of Peyton Manning? And we'll do that with a lot of the Hall of Famers tonight. If you want to get in, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you here, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So here's what we're going to do. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of Hall of Famers. We'll get into some news a little bit later in the hour. There's a story with Michael Thomas. Again, it's just bizarre. Things with Michael Thomas are bizarre. Things with the Saints in general, it's going to be a fascinating year. So we'll be getting to that in a little bit. But first, your calls, 855-212-4227. And really one of the most admirable qualities of Peyton Manning, to some people, is the worst part of his career. And we're going to talk about that next.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So we'll continue to talk about Hall of Famers. And really, for now, I'm not even kidding. For the first 40 minutes that I've been sitting here, from the moment I sat in this chair to do the show, I've just been watching Peyton Manning highlights. That's all this has been. That's all I really want to do tonight. I just want to sit down. I want to watch highlights, all these different guys. Whether we're getting into offensive lineman highlights, which, yes, there will be a portion of the show tonight where we will watch Jets Hall of Famer Alan Faneca highlights. I will be doing that, Graceffo, and I bet that tickles your heart. I bet that makes you feel pretty good.
Sure, that's like the last good era of Jet football.
Well, yeah, because apparently Zach Wilson had 50 interceptions today in front of the public, so he crumbled and looked awful. Your second-round pick from last year is going to get cut.
Yeah, I thought about going to that today, actually.
Oh, yeah, I would go to something like that. I've been to open practices before. They're fun.
Yeah,
they're fun, man.
A couple family members went.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't tell me they were going.
You wear Jets gear every time I see you in here, pretty much. You're the basically the biggest Jets fan I know. And the fact that you didn't get invited.
Nah, family members went, and they said, oh, we should have asked you to go. And I said, yeah, well, nobody told me you were going.
Yeah,
so.
You could have said that on so many different occasions.
I get a picture of, like, everybody there, and I'm like, oh, well, huh.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's like, so for me, with my family, everybody's got an iPhone except me. So there's a whole family group chat. And it's like, oh, my girlfriend will say to me, like, hey, so are we going to your cousin's baby is having a 2-year birthday? Like, are we going to that? I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. She goes, oh, it's in the group chat. Oh, it's in the group chat. They don't let me in because I have a droid. So it's
Should let you in.
Well, they won't, because God forbid the color, the messages changes.
We don't want to have green in your group chat.
Green is a nice color, by the way. It's a beautiful
you
color.
You should maybe adjust.
No, I'm not giving in to the mob.
The mob could be fun.
It. Yeah, the mob can be fun. Sometimes peer pressure is great.
And iPhones are very functional. I don't know if you know.
Well, but so is my phone right now. My phone is a beautiful thing. Also, it's a third of the cost, so I'm good. But
you can get a cheap iPhone.
It's cost me relationships with my family having this phone.
I mean, we all have iPhones. I mean, I don't know what the excuse was for me tonight, so clearly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nobody cares.
I don't know.
I get a text, oh, everybody's at the green and white scrimmage. And I was like, oh, well, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks. So that's fun. Are there any other open practices for them? Are they doing a lot?
I think this is like the only one where like it's a game atmosphere and it's, but I think they're doing like regular training camp practices open to the public. But this is the only one where like they have a game atmosphere and it's like a scrimmage.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's cool that they do it. Obviously, training camp and how that's changed over the years. It used to be like, hey, we go to a college in the middle of nowhere, and all these people get to show up and hang out. There's two-a-days, and you'd see a guy at a diner down the street. Like, there's just so much different. It was a whole different world, like, even 10 years ago, I feel like. And then everybody was just like, yeah, we're going to practice at our facilities, and we'll do a couple open practices, and, like, that'll shut people up. So it's changed dramatically. But anyway, getting back to the whole idea of, we've been talking a lot about Hall of Famers, and I want to talk a little bit more about Peyton Manning, and then we'll start getting to some other people the rest of the way here. But and you know what? We'll get to Michael Thomas in a minute, but let's go to Anthony first in Columbia. Hello, Anthony.
How you doing, sir?
What's going on?
Thank you I just want to thank you for actually taking the time and actually having this kind of show about Peyton Manning, because I think he was so unrespected as far as what he's done for the league.
Yeah. It feels like that. I mean, really, to be 5 years removed, or 6 years now, you know, whatever, from his career. And, how many times do you watch a broadcast and his name comes up? It's not often. No. How many times do you hear people talk on a talk show and he comes up?
No. And one of the things is, I wasn't even a Peyton Manning fan in the beginning, because I was a Stone Eagles fan, and he picked my Eagles apart.
Our Eagles apart, unfortunately.
Yes, and I was such a big fan, man. That's like, okay, who is this guy? But then I remember he was in his senior year, he was on Scholastic Sports America as the top high schooler in the country, and they were saying he was able to do NFL reads in high school.
Wow. And that's the perks of, you know, because for him, part of it was the pedigree, right? It was the idea that his dad played in the NFL, so he's got all the talent. He's a coach's son or a player's son. Like, he's just got all these tools that so few people ever have. And for him to have all of those things and actually put it together and be likable off the field, to have somebody who doesn't even watch football go, oh, that's Peyton Manning. I mean, that is incredible. Like, he is a generational player. Not just a generational player, but a generational person, you know?
He became my number one favorite quarterback of all time, over my Terry Bradshaw. You know, that's who I have over Tom Brady. I watched a segment where Tom Brady and him talk football, and Tom Brady actually learned a couple plays from Peyton Manning that he uses to this day.
And that makes sense. I mean, for the rivalry and what it was and the way they could, because obviously they had to keep shaping things against each other, and the, you know, chess match, as they always say, between the two guys and the two teams was just, it was phenomenal. And Anthony, I appreciate it, man. Like, that is what made all of this so great, is for, because when you think about, when we look back historically, right, Belichick, for whatever idiots think this year, all right, there are dumb people. I'm sorry. It is a dumb opinion to look at Bill Belichick after last season, where half of his team didn't even play because they opted out, when he's filling the gap of just losing Tom Brady, you know, dealing with a pandemic season, for people to be like, oh, well, Belichick isn't that good. Belichick is the greatest coach I've ever seen. He is very likely, by the time he hangs all of this up, the greatest coach to have ever lived, right? Bill Belichick.
Doesn't get any better than
that. It doesn't. And to think of a guy like that, a coach of that, the greatest coach, with the greatest quarterback. And that's what Peyton's going up against every single time, every time, his whole career, Colts, Broncos, that's what he faced.
You want to talk about the game?
Yeah, Peyton won enough in the playoffs. He won enough. And for him to do that against New England, get a couple of wins on his way to Super Bowls, that matters. That matters. And it's weird because, yeah, the legacy of Peyton Manning already feels like it's not as great as it should be. It feels like he's already starting to be forgotten. Still a public figure, obviously, out and about, the nationwide commercials and everything else, the game shows and his own TV shows, and maybe he's an announcer soon. We'll see where all of that goes. But Peyton Manning, the player. Peyton Manning, the career. What he did in those moments. I just don't hear about him much. Looking on social media, watching different programs, whether it's on YouTube or any major sports outlet. You just don't hear about Peyton Manning a whole lot.
Peyton's poop.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's what it feels like. He goes from the greatest prospect and like the beginning of maybe the greatest career of all time to a guy that by the time everything's said and done, it's like, well, Brady was better, and now you've got all the stats of Drew Brees, and you just think of
poop.
Well, yeah, it's that's how some people. I mean, it's not to that degree, but. It's kind of strange. It doesn't seem as bright a light. Graceffo, do you agree with this?
Now I'm going to push back with you on a little.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think anyone, even though Breeze might have better numbers and eventually some of these other guys might have better numbers, would ever argue that Drew Breeze was a better player than Peyton Manning. Like, I don't think anybody would ever really argue that.
I wouldn't say that he is either, but it's just when you're going to go through historical references, those are the kinds of things you shape.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I get. But, you know, that's the difference of seeing the player with your eyes and reading a list. Like, we both saw Peyton Manning in his prime. There wasn't a better quarterback in the league. Like, people can say all they want at the time that, you know, at the time they were both in their prime, Peyton Manning was the better player than Tom Brady. Like, I don't think that that's a crazy, outlandish thing to say. Like, Brady was carried by Belichick, number one, and, you know, 5-6 Pro Bowlers on defense. I mean, people forget that before 2007, where Brady won a chunk of Super Bowls, they were Hall of Famers on the defense.
Yes. Like, and they played
Law,
a totally
Teddy
different
Bruschi,
offense.
Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel was a great player, Ted Johnson was a great player. Like, people forget that, you know, Brady was carried by a lot. I don't want to say carried might be the wrong word. But Brady was supported.
Yes.
A hell of a lot more supported than Peyton Manning was.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about
especially
it.
Especially when it came to a defense.
Yeah.
It took forever for the Colts to find Dwight Freeney. It took forever for the Colts to find Robert Mathis. It took forever for the Colts to find Bob Sanders. Forever.
Yeah, it did. And that's the thing, man. You think, oh, if those guys switch teams and Peyton is on the Patriots and Brady's on the Colts, like, how do all those things look? You know, it's just a... incredibly curious about all of that. But yeah, you think about Peyton in his career, it's amazing. I mean, it's Peyton Manning, you know? So we'll continue to talk about him, and we'll get into other Hall of Famers as we get through more of the show here. But it's Peyton Manning. Like, it's just, you got to give the guy his due. He's got to get his time. So if you want to get in, 855-212-4227. And you can also reach out on Twitter, where I've got it up on the computer, although it's buried behind Peyton Highlights that I'm just running continuously in front of me right now. So you can find me on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn, and that's all one word, It's Vince Quinn. But real quick, let's talk about the Saints for a minute, because this is a story that was just coming out. So Michael Thomas, who, that's one of the best receivers in the league. In a given week, he's the best receiver in football. That's who Michael Thomas is. These guys had over 100 catches in a season, been just out of his mind, ridiculously good, super clean, running the slants, all that kind of stuff. There's some friction between him and the Saints right now. And you think about the spot that the Saints are in. Drew Brees retires. Now you've got a vacuum. One of the best quarterbacks to ever live, the guy who was the Saints. He was the institution there for so many years. He's gone. Is it Jameis Winston? Is it Taysom Hill? What is the offense going to look like? It's going to be different with either of those guys. Well, it gets a lot easier, regardless of who your quarterback is, if Michael Thomas is playing. But he's not playing. And when is he going to play? We don't know. Because here's part of the drama of this is Michael Thomas got injured and they wanted him to get a surgery. Saints were saying, hey, we based on what your injury is, the degree of it, whatever, we recommend you getting surgery. Michael Thomas said, no, I want to see if this can heal naturally, give it some time. Gave it some time, didn't work. Now they're going and he goes and gets the surgery. Sean Payton came out not that long ago and said, hey, he should have gotten it. He should have gotten the surgery. That was a mistake. Now, he's not answering calls. Supposedly, he's not been answering calls from Sean Payton, from a trainer on the team, from the wide receivers coach. He's got beef with the organization. And to have injury stuff, surgery stuff, getting mixed in now to this equation with the Saints, it's a little bit of a rocky road here. It's not exactly where you want to be when you're transitioning an entire era of football. So thinking about a guy like that, because again, one of the best receivers in football, any given day, the best receiver in football. When he's agitated with the organization, now you've got the injury stuff. Is he rushing to get himself back? How long is it till he comes back? If the team stinks in that stretch, does he have a preference in terms of Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill? Is he losing opportunities to make a case for that guy by playing with them both in practice? There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And other thing, why is it always receivers? It's always receivers, isn't it? It's always receivers. I don't know what it is. It's something in the DNA. It's not linemen all the time that are like, let me tell you, I hate the organization. It's always receivers. What is it? What is it with receivers? I don't know. I'll never understand. I was a lineman. So anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn. You can join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. When we come back, more Hall of Famers and also a ridiculous coffee order.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to The Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour 2 of the morning show continues here on CBS Sports Radio. And yeah, we've been talking Hall of Famers because as we're getting, I mean, they're just oodles. See, there we go. We got it in again. There are oodles of Hall of Famers as Graceffo shakes his head. Oodles of Hall of Famers. There will be oodles of head shakes.
Stupid word.
It's a great stupid word, though. Oodles. People don't say oodles enough. It's just got to be said. That's the take of the night. You just don't say oodles enough. Add oodles to your vocabulary. You will be a lot happier. Now, as Graceffo tries to drown me out with the music. But, yeah, we've been going through all these different Hall of Famers, or we will be going through all these different Hall of Famers, because there's like 30 of them that are getting inducted this weekend. And you had the whole class from last year. That all got canceled. They pushed it to this year. So last year's class, this year's class. There's just so many incredibly talented people. And you think of all the stories, all the success, the ways that some of these people, like defining players of eras of football. Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu was that wave of safeties that changed the game as we know it. He just got inducted. I mean, how fun was that era of Troy Polamalu, Ed Reed, and Brian Dawkins? How much fun was that? Those guys were amazing in all different ways. They were all absolutely spectacular to watch. And to have safeties that were household names, safeties that everybody knew, safeties that you'd love watching the highlights. If you had a team that could draft a defensive player in fantasy, those were the guys that you took, you know? Like, just big-time players. And how their versatility and the ways that they did it changed the position. And now guys are modeled based on what those players could do. Guys like Troy Polamalu, guys like Brian Dawkins, who was inducted before, guys like Ed Reed, who's been inducted. Like, it's just, it's awesome. And so we've started so far with Peyton Manning. And I want to get to his running mate in just a minute because he got inducted as well. But first, we all have a little caffeine, right? If you're up at this hour, you are listening to me live on the radio right now. You got some caffeine in your life. There's no way that you work overnight hours and you're like, yep, never had caffeine in my life. And if you haven't, you're a miracle, and I need to know what is in your DNA, and if I steal a sample of your hair in the middle of the night, don't worry about it. But a lot of people drinking a lot. You might be in a truck right now, because obviously, like, this hour of the night, there's a lot of guys driving trucks out there, a lot of people driving trucks. And so if you're out there in a truck, you might have just, like, the biggest coffee, like a gallon jug of coffee that you just keep next to you, and you're just pounding it all through the night every night. Well, I don't know if this is going to surprise you or not, but a certain coach of the Detroit Lions, future Hall of Famer Dan Campbell,
That is absurd.
No, it's not. Future Hall of Famer Dan Campbell has a bit of coffee himself.
Normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks, I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day.
You can hear the crowd, which is media. These media people are all sitting there at the presser, and you can hear, like, a horrified shock in the background. Can you play that again, Graceffa? Like, pump it up a little bit, because I want people to hear that background.
Normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day.
Like the live studio audience at some network sitcom. People are just like,
ah! It's not a lie if you believe it.
It's, yeah, straight off of Seinfeld, man. It's crazy. He drinks that much coffee, which first off.
You really think this is true, though? Honestly?
Yes. Oh, yes.
How does he not have a heart attack?
He's doing up-downs in the middle of practice. Yes, I totally, but doesn't it, because for me, I heard he was drinking that much coffee. I heard that clip, and for me, it was, oh, everything makes sense now. It makes sense. Doesn't it explain the Dan Campbell experience a little bit more when he's drinking enough coffee to get an elephant jacked up?
I couldn't tell you anything about this experience other than it's going to be entertaining and it's going to crash and burn and it's going to be hilarious while it happens.
No. Dan Campbell is the greatest coach of all time and you're going to find out.
Big fat failure.
I mean, no comment. But
big fat failure.
Also, here's the other thing too, okay? I would love to know if you are a imbiber of the Starbucks product, you have, dare I say, oodles of Starbucks. How much does it cost in a day to have two Venti Pike coffees and two espresso shots dumped into that? Seriously, I would love to know.
Cash, homie.
If you are somebody that drinks that kind of thing, you go there all the time, give me an estimate of what you think that actually costs. I would love to know how much money Dan Campbell is spending every morning as he's going into the facility to drink coffee, to drink a gallon's worth.
Pay that man his money.
I mean, they might as well build him his own franchise. I feel like they might as well just have a kiosk in the Lions facility that's exclusively there for him because that one order is going to pay the person's salary. You know what I mean? Like, it just sounds like a lot of money. Sounds like a big order. So I would love to know. 855-212-4227. And do you drink that much coffee yourself? Because I know some people have like a lot of cups in a day. 855-212-4227. My limit is two. That's usually about as far as I go. Although, in honor of Dan Campbell, I did have a third cup tonight. I usually, you know, I'll have one in the morning. Then usually when I'm coming in to do the show, once I get in here and I get settled, then I'll grab a cup. I had two. I had two when I got in because I was like, you know.
Shove them in and swallow.
Yep. That's exactly what I did. And it was delicious. All right. We've been talking about Peyton Manning so far. And we'll take a call on him, and we'll talk about Edgerrin James in a moment. But first, let's talk about Peyton. We go to Robert in San Diego. Hello, Robert.
What's going on, Vince? First-time caller, man.
Hey, appreciate it.
Yeah, real quick, man. Born and raised in San Diego, man. We used to get killed by Peyton Manning. I used to hate him. Now I love him. Bottom line, he's by far the best quarterback, I could say. He used to eat us alive.
So what changed? What changed from you hating the guy to loving the guy?
You know what, man? His last year, having no arms and winning the Super Bowl. Basically, he won the Super Bowl with no arms, man. I don't know how he did it, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, really, that last year I think is incredible. You look at the numbers and you go, God, he stunk. And to some degree, he totally did. But in the playoffs, he did enough, and that's all that matters.
And you know what? That's all that matters. He had the W. You know what I mean? And people love him, man. And you're right, you know. I haven't heard from him in a while, so he needs to get back out there.
Well, yeah, and he's out there, and Robert, I appreciate it. It's just you don't hear him enough here. You know what I mean? Like, when I sit down, I'm listening to – because when I'm driving around, I'm in the car a lot. And I'm listening to sports talk because, yeah, I want to see, like, especially here. I mean, they're my coworkers. I want to hear what my coworkers are talking about, what they're up to, whether it's here or I do some shows in Philly. That's where I'm from. Like, I like to check on my people there. But as much as all this is going on all the time and we talk about all-time greats and all that kind of stuff, it just feels like Peyton Manning, you don't hear about him as much as you would expect to hear about Peyton Manning, the player. Peyton Manning, the guy, Peyton Manning, the celebrity, sure, hear about him all the time. He's very relevant because he's doing talk shows, and they want him to be in the booth for $1 billion and all that kind of stuff. So you hear about him like that. But the player, the accomplishments, the records, all the things that he had done, they just don't pop up as much. And it's here's where I've gotten to tonight, which I didn't expect to ever be here. But Peyton Manning, to me, honestly feels like one of those guys that 30 years from now, there's going to be those punk kids, you know, and they don't know anything, these dumb kids talking about Peyton Manning, and all they're going to read is the stats, and all they're going to see is the record books and how he compares, and oh, by that point, with the way the offense has changed, with how long quarterbacks are going to play for, he's going to be 13th all-time on passing yards, he's going to be 15th in touchdowns or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, his numbers are not going to be the same, and people are going to look back, and these snot-nosed kids who are going to be like 30 at the time, they're going to be like, well, if you look back at Peyton Manning, he wasn't that good and whatever. You know, like, it just feels like I'm going to be that old man yelling, you kids don't understand how great Peyton Manning was. Patrick Mahomes, it feels like it's a lock. We just know. You're going to see how the career goes, the Super Bowl early, MVP early, 50 touchdowns so early. Assuming health, he's just going to have that career. He'll be undisputed. Aaron Rodgers, for everything that he's done, he's going to be one of those guys. I feel like, at least in terms of raw talent, it's undisputed. And for Peyton Manning to be in that era where he's competing with Brady and ultimately in the long haul loses to Brady, and then Drew Brees keeps playing and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I feel like he's getting lost in the shuffle a little bit, and we're just going to be fighting about the legacy of Peyton Manning and being like, no, you need to understand. You weren't there. You didn't see it. You don't know how dominant he was. He's got five MVPs. Five. No one else has five. He's got five. One of them's a co-MVP. That was a little bit weird. Remember that weird year where him and Steve McNair split the MVP? I can't believe that happened. Steve McNair was incredible that year. It's not a knock on Steve McNair in any way, shape, or form. It's just it's odd that you get all these people to sit in a room and be like, yep, let's give them both the MVP. It's pretty amazing. But either way, five MVPs, or four and a half, if you want to call it, I guess. Either way, it's just an incredible career. But part of it is, obviously, when you have a Hall of Fame career, you do have those support guys around you. And as I've now, for the first hour, I was watching Peyton Manning highlights, and that's all that was playing in front of me. Now I'm sitting here, I'm watching Edgerrin James. And to watch Edgerrin James, who was the running back with Peyton as things were getting going. You know, Peyton's drafted 97, 98, Edgerrin James comes in 99. That's the duo, right? You get the quarterback, you have the receiver, you have Marvin Harrison. Now you go and get the running back. Peyton's got the full support. And the thing, and in part, this is a Peyton thing, and it's a compliment to Edgerrin James, and a big reason why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame is because you can look around, and Aaron Rodgers was talking about it, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? Hey, when guys are with me, they're better. We talked about that a bunch last week, Graceffa, right? It was like, hey, I mean, you can say what you want about Jordy Nelson, Oakland Raider, but Jordy Nelson Packer is going to be better with me. It's like, yeah, because you're Aaron Rodgers. Like, you are going to do that to everybody. So I would be a passable receiver with Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, you can say that with Peyton Manning too. But for Edgerrin James, I mean, one, you just look at the numbers and what he did is completely ridiculous. The numbers, the eye test on the stats, it's obvious, apparent, indisputable. Catching, rushing, touchdowns, he did everything. So it's all there. But outside of the stat sheet, he could block. That's what you need, right? Like, you Peyton demanded that in running backs. He had that expectation. If you couldn't do it, you didn't see the field. He would hate you eventually because he wanted people that could pass protect. He needed that. He's not mobile. So that was an important part of all of this, with all the Omaha-ing left and right. He needed a running back that could catch, that could block, that could run, that could read. And Edgerrin James did all those things. Go back and watch the highlights. I mean, you see the balance of the guy, right? It's balance, agility. He could run through arm tackles. He could stiff arm people. He just knew everything that needed to be done, and he did it. And it's funny, too, because I got to tell you, when Edgerrin James first got announced for the Hall of Fame, I had a moment where I was like, really? It didn't resonate in the same way, because running backs, they come and they go, a lot of them, right? You have 3-4 years where you're at the top of the game, and then you kind of disappear, and then it's just a long road until you retire or whatever. But Edgerrin James, man, you go back and look at the numbers. Yeah, like, his whole career is incredible. I guess it was just he went to Arizona and I kind of forgot about him, but 1,100, 1,200 yards on the ground, plus the receiving and everything. He just, his whole career, man, into his late 20s, he just kept doing it. And you look at the numbers, and that with the blocking, you just go, yeah, like, this guy is indisputably a Hall of Fame talent. Good for Edgerrin James and for him, because Peyton Manning, and why are we doing all of this? Well, yeah, Peyton Manning's getting inducted tonight, so that's going to happen tonight. Edgerrin James just got inducted. And I want to play this little bit, by the way, because Edgerrin James, in his speech, he had this one little moment that is absolutely amazing. Listen to this.
My career started with gold teeth and ended with this gold jacket.
That's so good. I absolutely love that for him. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So if you want to get in still talking about Peyton, you want to get in talking about Edgerrin James, by all means, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. We're going to be getting all sorts of Hall of Famers all throughout the night because, frankly, it's fun. It's fun. I'm just having a great time sitting here and watching all these highlights of all these greats and just talking about their careers and what they meant to the game. So 855-212-4227 or at It's Vince Quinn on Twitter. But on top of that, I don't know if you saw what's been going on with Deshaun Watson in the past week, but it's always been a weird situation. You just get another reminder that the Texans are not prepared for any of this. And we're going to talk about that on the other side. Keep it right here.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, Vince Quinn here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Watching, we've moved on to Megatron. I got some Megatron highlights going on right now. So I want to talk about him in a little bit. We'll get to another receiver in just a couple of minutes as well. But first, I do want to get to some NBA stuff because, God, the NBA with free agency in the past week, they're launching an investigation into tampering now with a couple of different deals that went down. The Kyle Lowry deal, Lonzo Ball going to Chicago. They're investigating tampering, which I don't even know how you do it. It just seems so easy to get around an investigation into that kind of thing, doesn't it? Like, you know how many different apps you can message somebody on? You know how many different apps you can place a call now? A billion. Basically everything. It's easy. And to think of all these different ways that you can do it, I mean, yeah, sure, you could check somebody's phone, but if they had an app, they send all the texts, they delete the app, they make calls through that app, they delete the app, like, you have no chance. You have no chance. If you really want to cover your tracks, fake email, you sign some stuff up, like, whatever, you can figure it out. So I have no idea how this stuff gets done. I don't know how they actually get to the bottom of any of this. They have found people guilty of tampering before, but that's one of the NBA things going on. Other NBA thing is the Lakers. I never thought I'd say this in my life. I love the Lakers right now. I love it. It's fun. It's exciting. It's interesting. I can't wait to see what they do. Because everybody's going to hate this team. They are going to hate this team with every fiber of their being. LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Now you've got Russell Westbrook, who so many people don't like. And now to have those three together. Now to get Carmelo Anthony to sign up and be on that team as well. Oh, the blood is in the water. And let me tell you, folks. If you get tired of certain teams, certain topics getting run into the ground, oh boy, do I have news for you. You're going to hear a lot about the Lakers this year.
True story?
Yes. Oh, it is the truest of true stories.
True story?
Yes. I don't know why. I thought I made that abundantly clear. Yes, it is a true story.
True story?
Yes. Do you listen? Do you even try to listen? My God. Anyway.
You stupid idiot.
Yeah, he is. So you look at this and you go, everyone's going to hate this situation. Everyone's going to root against this situation. You know what? That team can totally win a title. There's no reason the Lakers, as they're built right now, as odd and awkward and strange as it is, that team can absolutely win a title. And part of me, part of me wants to see it happen. Really, part of me wants to see it happen because it would just be so ridiculous. It'd be fun. Like, there is some element of me. Also, I have a level of Sixers despair right now, and that hurts my soul, and I'm just not expecting them to win anything because Ben Simmons is on the roster, and Ben Simmons stinks. But otherwise, I got to look elsewhere to get my kicks, you know, to talk about title dreams, to look at that Lakers team. The amount of disgust that people would have if a Russell Westbrook, LeBron James, Anthony Davis Lakers team wins a title, it's abundant joy to me. I mean, really, something about it is fun. Honestly, and here's another thing too. For all the problems of Russell Westbrook, the player, I would love to see that guy win a title. Really? Vince, are you sure he's not conducive to winning? What the analytics tell you, wag your finger all you want, adjust your glasses, you know, I don't care. I get all of that. I'm with you on all of that. But you know what? The guy loves basketball. He cares about the game. He cares about the sport. He plays hard every single night. Is he the most efficient? Is he the smartest player that we've ever seen? No, he's not. But you know what? He's fun to watch. You ever watch Russell Westbrook go off? It's pretty fun, isn't it? Triple doubles all the time. It can be fun. The guy's a force of nature. He's one of the best physical just athletes I've ever seen in my life. Ever. Any sport. Russell Westbrook is a ridiculous athlete. And to see a guy like that with his energy, with his passion, with his commitment, to be close once with Kevin Durant, all those years ago to get another chance when everybody's given up, when everybody's written him off, when he's got that kind of drive. You know what? I would love to see Russell Westbrook win a title. I would.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. He's fun. And it's not just the way that he plays, you know, when he's having a night, when he's going off and all that, but it's just the guy's got attitude. Isn't that what you want? If you're a classic NBA fan, a classic basketball fan, that's what you want. You want guys that are nasty. You want guys that don't like people. You want somebody that's going to...
taking shots at Westbrook.
Yeah, people take shots at him. He's taking shots back. I like that guy. He's fun. So, you know what? I never thought I'd say it. Again, I really didn't. But I am rooting for the Lakers right now. It'd be fun to see them win a title. It really would. So, anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. You can also join the show on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. It's Vince Quinn. By the way, this weekend on CBS, some of the best golfers on the PGA Tour, including Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka. My man, Brooksy. They will be competing in Tennessee at the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. Live coverage begins all weekend at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, and that's only on CBS. I want to get to a Hall of Famer in just a second. Somebody got inducted tonight. But I'm trying to do some math right now. I am on a food delivery app looking at Starbucks in Detroit and trying to calculate how much money Dan Campbell spends on coffee in a given day. Because, you know, like, Graceffa, can we play the order again? Let me know when you got it, because I know I'm just throwing it at you. But let me know when you got it, and I want to play for people what exactly Dan Campbell, my favorite coach in the NFL that isn't named Nick Sirianni, I want to let people know what he's drinking every day. So here is what Dan Campbell, incredibly fascinating man, drinks every morning.
Normally what I do is I'll get two venti. I go to, you know, Starbucks. I get two venti of the pipe with two shots in them. So black eye in both. That's what I come in with. That's how I start the day.
To screams of horror from media types who surely spend late nights trying to get stories in on a deadline and live that coffee lifestyle big time. Those people, you know, some of these beats traveling on the road, all that kind of stuff. Those people horrified at the amount of caffeine that Dan Campbell puts in his system every single day. I've seen it floating around that it's the equivalent of 10 Red Bulls every morning.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I don't know how that's humanly possible. I can't believe his heart hasn't exploded. But Dan Campbell is not an ordinary man. He is, I think he's basically a Viking god. That's where I'm starting to settle, is Dan Campbell will end up in Valhalla someday. And he deserves that. That's where he needs to be, is just constantly feasting and fighting people on a battlefield and then feasting and then back on the battlefield. It's just Dan Campbell's way of life, which is, again, why I love this guy. I think he's fun as hell. I really hope he's a great coach, because that means we get 8 years of Dan Campbell, head coach of the Detroit Lions. Like, give me all of that. That sounds
outrageous.
Great.
Outrageous.
It would be outrageous fun. Excuse me, oodles of fun. But doing the math, as I look through how much that would cost for him to do that every day, if Dan Campbell is drinking two large coffees and four shots of espresso every morning in Detroit, comes out to about $12 every morning in coffee.
Outrageous!
Yes, just in the morning, $12. You can get a cup at some places for, what, $1.50, $2, like $1. It depending on where you go, it's not much. You're spending $12 every morning, which comes out to, over the course of the year, $4,380 on coffee in the morning alone.
The bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
It's going to pay off in a Super Bowl. There you go. But it's an astonishing amount of coffee. Anyway, I want to talk about Isaac Bruce for a second. Isaac Bruce finds his way into the Hall of Fame. If you remember Isaac Bruce, if you're old enough to see him play, greatest show on turf. Him, Torrey Holt, you had Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, unbelievable team, playing the Super Bowl against the Titans, Kevin Dyson. He goes to the 1 yard line. He reaches. Oh, he's short. You know, like, how amazing was that game? You look back at those teams and what Isaac Bruce was, and man, I mean, unbelievable player. Unbelievable player, unbelievable hands. I actually got to talk to him once. He's one of the few, like, big-time names that I've ever had the honor of having a conversation with. Great guy. Just a really fun, interesting conversation. But you look at what he was able to do. I mean, Isaac Bruce could just do everything. And when you look at the career numbers, you think of all these all-time great wide receivers. And there's so many names that come up. And Calvin Johnson's one of them. He just got inducted. But you're going to think of Terrell Owens. You're going to think of Randy Moss, Jerry Rice. Now, Larry Fitzgerald is a guy that needs to be in that conversation all the time. But when you ask people to rattle off the greatest receivers ever, Isaac Bruce doesn't get mentioned enough. And when you look at him all time, last I checked, he's like fifth all time in yards. You know, just unbelievable. So it's not just that he was a part of a great team. I mean, he did it forever. He was in the league well before the greatest show on turf. He comes into the league in 94. And then in his first real starting season in 95, what do you know? 1,700 yards, okay? He basically opened his career as a starter. 119 receptions. 119. 1,700, almost 1,800 yards. 13 touchdowns, 15 yards a reception. Like, mind-boggling numbers. This is the 90s. This is aggressive cornerbacks. This isn't rules that favor all the space and you can't grip up a guy. Like, he was dealing with all of that, and he was putting up mind-blowing numbers, and he did it for his whole career. I mean, he's just amazing. He had over 800 yards at 36. Incredible. So Isaac Bruce, I'm glad he's in the Hall of Fame. He doesn't get brought up enough. Incredible player, and just really happy for him. Now, if you want to get in and talk Hall of Famers, 855-212-4227. I'm Vince Quinn with you on CBS Sports Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio. Listening to the Vince Quinn Show, weekend overnights on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour 3 of the morning show here, and I've moved on to Harold Carmichael highlights. We're on a wide receiver kick right now. I was doing a little Megatron, and then I was watching Isaac Bruce, and now I'm on the Harold Carmichael, who was an Eagles receiver back in the day, and just a gigantic human being, like 6'6", 6'7", something like that, just completely ridiculous. And for him, I know I believe he had some knee injuries, and that's ultimately what cut his career a little bit short. And you, obviously, with the surgeries and all the guys get today, probably have a longer career and would have been in much sooner. But it's just been fun to sit back and watch highlights. And if you got somebody, because there's so many people, I mean, there's been like 30 people that are getting inducted this week with all the different names. The class that's technically this year: Peyton Manning, Alan Faneca, Calvin Johnson, John Lynch, Tom Flores, Bill Nunn, Drew Pearson, Charles Woodson. Like, all those people. Jimmy Johnson just got inducted. Bill Cowher, Troy Polamalu. All those great names. All those great players. If there's anybody you just want to get in, talk about, it's just nice to sit back once in a while. As much as there's a lot of, hey, we get into all these different games and we're evaluating, is this team better than that team and all, it's just nice to step back once in a while and just be like, yeah, you know, let's just kick back and watch some highlights and talk about careers and crack a beer, essentially. You know, it's just been fun. So I've been having a great time tonight. If you want to get in, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. I want to talk about the Vikings just falling apart. By the way, we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, let's go to Laura in Pennsylvania. Hello, Laura.
Hey, guys. How are you? I'm probably the only girl that called into the show.
I've gotten a few, but it's been a while. So, yes, thank you for calling.
I just want to comment on the coffee. It's a lot of coffee.
It is a lot of coffee.
And, like, I drink coffee, but I don't drink that much. That's just a lot of coffee, and you could be dead, but I don't know how he does it.
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. It's when someone said it's the equivalent of 10 Red Bulls worth of caffeine, and he's doing that every morning. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what exactly, you know, you're going to die. You're literally going to die. That's from a medical perspective, you're going to die.
Well, I would wonder if the Lions medical staff, after hearing that, was like, listen, Dan, we gotta talk, brother. Like, you gotta calm down a little. Like, we're gonna draw up a plan to slowly ease you off of that much caffeine every morning. Because yeah, it's like that. There's no way that's healthy for you. Just unbelievable. And Laura, thanks for the call. So yeah, it's a lot of coffee.
Alrighty then.
Yeah. 855-212-4227. So. One of the biggest stories going on this week in the NFL, outside of all the Hall of Famers, is Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. This situation is ridiculous, and we'll go through it in just a second. But first, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So let's begin with Kirk Cousins. Just a couple of days ago, after the Vikings, by the way, if you remember last week as we were talking about all this, we were going through the Vikings and all their quarterbacks were out because of contact tracing with COVID, so they had to sign another quarterback. Mike Zimmer was all mad. Well, Kirk Cousins was available to the media this week and being asked about his situation with COVID and the vaccine, here's Kirk Cousins.
That is what it's going to come down to, is did you have a close contact? And so I'm going to be vigilant about avoiding a close contact. I've even thought about, should I just set up literally plexiglass around where I sit so that this could never happen again?
Good luck with this, Kurt. Good luck. I said Kurt. It's Kirk. Good luck, Kirk.
You're a clown.
Yeah. No, here's the problem with all of this. Like, Kirk Cousins is, on some ways, the luckiest man in the world, okay? Because think about it. When the Vikings brought him in, he was the missing piece. He was the guy to get them to the Super Bowl. He was the quarterback they needed. They had Case Keenum before. They got the NFC Championship game. They got their face punched in by a certain team from Philadelphia that may or may not have won a Super Bowl. And once that happened, they haven't recovered. They never got back to that level again. Kirk Cousins was supposed to be the guy. So many teams, you have a missing piece. It's a wide receiver. It's a defensive end. This was the quarterback. They gave him 3 years, every single dollar guaranteed. That never happens. He's the only guy that it's ever happened to as a quarterback on that magnitude. It is a unique contract in the history of the league. That is to Kirk Cousins. That's what he was supposed to be. He hasn't been that. I mean, all the conversations we've had about big-time games and how good of a quarterback is he anyway? I mean, really, if you in your head are ranking quarterbacks within the NFL, how high on the list is Kirk Cousins? He's in the teens, right? Somewhere just outside, anywhere between 10 and 20, depending on how you feel on a given day, what he is in a given day. He's not amazing. He's good at times. He's pretty good at times. In other games, he's just downright atrocious. So they weren't able to find another answer as his first contract expired. They gave him another deal. It's all guaranteed. He's got security. And with that security comes decision-making that surely is driving everybody in the Vikings facility absolutely nuts. Think about where the Vikings are. Like, this team, I'm telling you, the Vikings are primed to crumble. This is a team that is staring into the abyss. Are they a Super Bowl contender right here, right now? Do you really believe they're going to win it all this year? What is it going to take? Because that's been a defensive team for years. You might know Stephon Diggs when he was there, Adam Thielen, now it's Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook. They have good players. That is a defensive team. That was their calling card. When they got as far as they did, it was the defense. It's a defensive head coach. That's who they're supposed to be. Defense last year, Mike Zimmer, he's like, yeah, this is the worst defense I've ever had. He was miserable at the end of the season. Now they go into this year, the quarterbacks aren't vaccinated. And by the way, and this is a very important note, Have you seen the NFL's vaccination numbers lately? Because they've changed. They've changed significantly. Here's how much they've changed. In the middle of June, vaccination numbers in the NFL, this is June 25th, they were estimated to be about 65%, which I think based on where the country is, it's probably average, right? Just average American, 65%. Okay. July 16th, goes up to 73%. You know what the estimated percentage of vaccinated players in the NFL is right now? The reported figure right now, 90. 9 out of 10. They went from 2 out of 3 to 9 out of 10 in a month and a half, if that. And here's Kirk Cousins. Here's the guy that was supposed to be the missing piece. Hasn't exactly been that. They've got a lot of eggs in this basket. And he's thinking, I just missed all that time. And there were points during the season last year where, you know, the Denver Broncos started a wide receiver from the practice squad at quarterback. But it'll be fine. I'll put myself in a glass box. Can you imagine how much Mike Zimmer is losing his mind right now? He's already publicly come out and said that it drives him crazy, all this vaccine stuff. And here's his quarterback that hasn't fulfilled the job that he's signed up for. And he's saying he's not going to get the vaccine. The Vikings are going to be a mess. They're going to be a mess. If I'm a player, and think about this too. Yeah, there's some people, and obviously the way people feel politically about the vaccine, I get it, I understand it, whatever. But you are at 90% now. So for that 25%, between 65 and 90, for those people that were reluctant, that didn't want to do it, they're getting vaccinated now because of the league and the way it's pushing people to do it, because the rules are different, because your ability to interact. Ryan Tannehill, just a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he was saying that he did it because he's the quarterback of the team. He wasn't really thrilled about it, but he's the quarterback of the team. You can't really be around your teammates and be a quarterback the way you're supposed to be based on the rules if you're not vaccinated. So he's like, yeah, I didn't want to do it. I got the shot. They basically forced me to do it. Whatever. And that's what all of these other guys are doing. So you're looking around the Vikings locker room. Well, there are other guys that didn't exactly want the shot, but they took it because of the team, the chance to win, what it means for them and their careers. Kirk Cousins clearly doesn't feel the pressure. He's got security. There's no threat on the roster that's going to take his job. He's got all this guaranteed money. He feels pretty comfortable. Doesn't mean he's in a good situation. Doesn't mean his relationship with the team is going to get any better, but he feels comfortable. So, yeah, he's going to put himself in a box. He's just going to be walking around. He's going to be picking it up with his hands. He's going to be lifting it up over his head and, like, waddling around with it and then dropping it back down. It's going to be a mess. It's not going to work. How do you prevent yourself from exposure, really? You don't know. You know, when you go out in public, I mean, you got to wear a mask in the stores if you're not vaccinated. Yeah, good luck with that. You're going to tell me that every American is walking around and we're all on the honor system here. Yep. Oh, but we're all playing by the rules. There's never been an unvaccinated person that's walked around without a mask. Hasn't happened. Okay. Enjoy Fantasyland. Call me when you come back. So he's going to get exposed again. He's going to be playing these risks again. And for him in this situation, I mean, it feels comfortable, but is it really? No way. No way. I mean, Mike Zimmer's going to be losing it. And thinking about how the Vikings are going to handle all of this, that's a lot of pressure on that team. That's a lot of pressure on Zimmer. And for Cousins to be doing this right now with what the locker room dynamics are, good luck. Good luck is what I'm going to say. So 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is back. And so, you know, you're not going to win the division. That's already out. So are you getting the wild card? I hope so. Chicago got Justin Fields. Maybe they pick up a little bit. The Vikings look like a mess, Graceffo. They look like a mess.
Well, I mean, One of his new teammates is Patrick Peterson. And I don't know if you've heard this week that Patrick Peterson basically, you know, told Brian McFadden on his podcast that he said, you know, I'm too important not to get vaccinated. So if it means, you know, us winning games or us losing games and I'm not vaccinated, I'm going to be vaccinated. So how do you think Patrick Peterson, in his private thoughts, feels about not only being around Kirk Cousins, but coming to the Vikings?
Yeah. Not good. It's not good.
Like, wouldn't you pay to hear Patrick Peterson's thoughts when he heard Kirk Cousins speak this week? I would have paid anything.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of those guys in the locker room, that's the thing. This could be a situation where really early, and especially if there's another moment, because I believe for him that he wasn't sick. It was contact tracing, so he's around somebody that was sick, right?
Yeah, I think it was Kellen Mond was the guy who was positive.
So,
and, you know, and the other two guys in the room with him also turned up to be close contacts.
Yeah.
So he has to realize, like, in the back of his mind, that he's going to be living a totally different life than every one of his teammates that's vaccinated. And he still just says, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
He just won't do it.
It's unignorable. Yeah, like, it's a great
point. Like, he has to travel on a different plane. He can't leave his hotel room. He has to wear a mask everywhere he goes. Like, he probably is going to have to wear a bracelet to identify himself on the field.
Yeah.
But again, like, I mean, not that the bracelet matters to him because we all know already, but still, it's something that he has to do. It's just, like, I get you have a choice, but your choices have consequences at the end of the day. It's something that we all learn, and his choice is going to, he is going to have to pay for the consequences of his choice.
Yeah, and all the other quarterbacks are too. Like Lamar Jackson right now. He just returned off the COVID.
Well,
list.
He's got the mayor of Baltimore begging him to get the vaccine.
Yeah, like, I bet the whole team is at this point. Because again, 90% of the league now, for whatever these people feel, whatever side you're on of this thing, 90% of players now are vaccinated. The NFL has won. The fight is over. So you're at a competitive disadvantage now, and for all the money you get paid and being the face because you're the quarterback, like for all these teams, not just Kirk Cousins, that's a lot of responsibility. And there's going to be questions all year. And when you are in separate planes and hotel rooms and you got to wear a mask all the time and all that kind of stuff, it's
like
something
you
can't ignore.
Eat outside. Imagine eating outside in the Minnesota winter.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
This is really what you want to put yourself through?
He's going to walk outside with hot coffee. It's going to be frozen by the time he sits down.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the Vikings didn't owe him any guaranteed money? Like, would he be on the team week one if the Vikings didn't owe him any guaranteed money?
Vikings are interested in Jaguars Gardner Minshew. You know, like, that's the kind of stuff you'd be hearing.
There's no way. Like, something would have to, like, push would have to come to shove eventually, where I know you're a quarterback and you're very important to the team, but, like the rubber would have to hit the road at some point where we can't live like this.
Yeah.
You gotta go. We can't have you not, like, we can't have you not with your teammates everywhere they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. And that's going to happen because that's the thing. It's going to be a story all year long. And at some point, he's going to have to accept the fact that he can say it's a personal choice and all that stuff. But as things happen along the way, at some point, he's inevitably, very likely, going to have to actually explain, like, step by step, everything that he's thinking and feeling about this. And you got to figure that the organization is just pestering him about this nonstop. He had a hospital sponsorship. And they dropped him, rightfully, because they're a hospital. What do you think they
yeah,
feel?
Yeah, could you imagine having Kirk Cousins show up to a hospital unvaccinated?
Just yeah.
Like, oh yeah, I'm here doing some PR at this hospital while I'm unvaccinated.
Yeah, I'm going to be a representative for McDonald's. By the way, I'm a vegan. Like, I you know, it doesn't work. So I don't know, man. The whole thing's a mess. Right now, so what is his contract situation? Well, his cap hit this year is $31 million, and their dead cap is $76 million.
Yeah, so what you're saying is he's on the team.
He's on the team. And next year, he's owed $45 million, and his dead cap is $45 million.
Yeah,
they
wow.
can't move him.
They can't cut him.
And
they
no
can't
one's,
do anything.
And how many teams are actually going to embrace that guy? Can you, like, let's say you get through the season.
Can you trade him?
No. No. Unless you're comfortable living with a quarterback that's unvaccinated. I mean, Cam Newton said personal choice. I know we've all gone to the way of thinking that personal choice means no. I don't specifically feel that way. Dak has said personal choice. I don't think that necessarily means no. But, you know, when quarterbacks come out, every time they meet the media, and they all say personal choice, I mean, people have to start to think that it's very likely that they're not.
It's very likely. And again, we're going to know soon because they are talking about wristbands and all that stuff, and it's going to be clear as day. So, crazy stuff. I mean, it's a lot of quarterbacks. I got to tell you, it's a lot more quarterbacks than I thought. So, clearly, people are entrenched. I mean, on some level, the people are entrenched. But when you're talking about NFL quarterbacks with all the money and potential for games missed, and they're not doing it, that tells you something. So, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. You can also get in on Twitter at It's Vince Quinn. That's all one word. It's Vince Quinn. And you know what? I was going to hit the break, but I'm going to run a little late here. We got a call about Dan Campbell. Let's talk to Wes. Hello, Wes.
Hey, man. Thank you for hearing me. Somebody said something that was interesting to me about the Lions. And I'm wondering, you heard probably his introductory press conference as the new head coach and the biting kneecaps. And
oh, yes.
It was sort of comical. However, since then, as a consumer of sports that I am, I live in Cleveland, but I'm paying attention, and I've heard raving reviews about Dan Campbell. This guy's running a great camp, and that the locals are excited about him. And I'm wondering if maybe he's like 1, maybe 2, 3 years, that he can build the Lions into a real franchise. I'm hearing that kind of review about that guy.
Well, yeah, and you know what it is with Dan Campbell? This is the thing. If you're going to give the optimist take of this, it is, okay, he comes in, the team's not that good. Obviously, the roster's got a lot of holes in it, but he gets them excited. They play together. There's a sense of chemistry, camaraderie. And they just play teams really tough. They win 6 games, 7 games, but it's something you can build on. And then he has a little credibility, and then people want to play there a little bit more. And, like, everything can start to go from there. So, yeah, if he lays the foundation, and they are one of those kinds of teams, the same way Joe Judge and the Giants last year, that was a credit to them, is they had culture, and it felt like everything was moving in the right direction. So Giants fans are losing their minds, you know? If Dan Campbell can do that, it's a huge win for him, for Detroit, for everybody. It's huge.
I think that the foundation, like you said, leadership, structure, just football smarts are unique to football. And maybe this guy was nervous at his press conference, but maybe he does have to turn the Lions around right now would be like worthy of building monuments, I think. And
yes.
I hope he can do it. As a Browns fan, I hope he can do it.
No, I do too, and I appreciate it, Wes. How great would a Dan Campbell statue be? That would be amazing. Yeah, Graceffo's smiling. He's giggling. Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
In terms of unlikely things, I'll take 1,000, Alex.
That would be awesome.
I'll take unlikely things for 1,000.
Yes, I mean, fine. But remember the what was it, Jerry Richardson, owner for the Panthers? And there was that statue of him outside. They've since taken it down. He had scandals with him. But
he put it up himself.
Oh, he put it up himself?
I'm pretty
well,
sure
I guess
he did.
He's the owner of the team. But there was a great statue of Jerry Richardson, which is him outside. It's a big, proudly standing statue. And he's surrounded by gigantic Panthers. And if there's like Dan Campbell riding a lion as a statue, that would be amazing. That would make me so incredibly happy. Would love to see that. But anyway, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show, 855-212-4227. We've been talking a lot about Hall of Famers throughout the show. I want to get into the Hall of Fame game and a really important aspect of the Hall of Fame game. That's on the other side. Keep it right here.
You're listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Intergalactic planetary.
listening to the Vince Quinn Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, that's me. I'm Vince Quinn with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And we've been talking a lot about Hall of Famers because all these people are getting inducted right now. And I mean, obviously, they're great names. They're Hall of Famers. But, like, Peyton Manning's getting inducted today. Okay? It's Peyton freaking Manning. That's like, Peyton Manning is, in a lot of ways, my childhood. Like, that is the guy that was the guy, you know, beginning of his career, becoming the guy as I'm growing up, as I'm getting that age of understanding the game and seeing everything that he did in his career. And just, it's unbelievable. So, talking about Peyton, but also, I mean, just the guys in the technical 2021 class, because everybody from last year's class got inducted this year as well. But Alan Faneca, Calvin Johnson, John Lynch, Charles Woodson, like they're all guys that, you know, to see that whole era of players getting in, it's a big deal, obviously. But Peyton Manning is just like, he's everything, man. And we'll talk about him more in a little bit. But that's all around the Hall of Fame game, right? So first preseason game of the year. And you know what? Like, I was seeing stuff out there. Oh, why are you getting excited? It's a preseason game. Shut up. I'm sorry. Shut up. Let me enjoy things. Am I allowed to enjoy things? Can I sit and watch stuff and be happy? Is it wrong? You know? Over 7 million people tuned in to the Hall of Fame game. It's a meaningless preseason game. You don't know who anybody is. Like, whatever. Let me have this. Let me have this in the background. You know what I mean? Is it a sin?
Keep your freaking mouth shut.
Yeah. Don't you sit around and watch the draft? Is that wrong? Is it wrong that I watch day two of the draft, day three of the draft? Does that make me a bad guy? You know, does that mean my girlfriend should dump me? Like, come on. Yeah. Does it mean I'm an idiot? Oh, you clearly do not have the higher intelligence of somebody like me because I don't watch the Hall of Fame game.
Shut up, square.
Yeah, just let people enjoy things. I don't see the problem. It's the kickoff of the NFL season. There's actual NFL football. There are real players in actual uniforms on a field. It's a nice little thing. It's not the Super Bowl, no, but it's something. There's nothing wrong with getting excited about it. That's the diehard, you know? Like, it's just what it is. I got to tell you, like, over the years, when I was growing up, and part of the reason why I'm here, why I'm sitting in this chair talking to you right now, when I was growing up, I'd watch every preseason game for the Eagles. That was my home team. I watched every game. And you might be saying, well, yeah, nobody knows who these guys are. Well, the thing is, I knew who those guys were. Of course I knew who they were. I was following the Eagles religiously. I was on websites every day. You know, I was watching. I would watch the morning Philly sports news every morning before I went to school. I knew everything that was going on. So, yeah, I was watching every preseason game. So I'm like, oh, well, this guy, they drafted him in the sixth round last year. I wonder if he's going to get the third linebacker spot or what's going to happen with this guy, rotational defensive end. Oh, he's a project player. Maybe he's going to work. Maybe he won't. This guy was injured last year. Maybe he's going to be better this year. Like, I knew all these people. So for me, I watch the games. I enjoy the games. I know they're not all superstars. They're mostly not. Most of these guys are going to get cut. But those guys on the back end of the roster, these great stories that you can get later where, hey, this undrafted guy who makes a name for himself, who makes the team, who becomes a contributor, who can become a Hall of Famer. Like, you just never know. And I like that. I like it. Is that wrong? I mean, we love the game so much. We're talking about it year-round. You wear a jersey, you know? So if we could do all that kind of stuff, is it wrong to watch a Hall of Fame game? Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it. All-Star game, the All-Star game stinks. If you like it, fine. Watch it. I don't watch them, generally. I don't watch the Pro Bowl. I'm just being honest, you know? But if you like it, watch it. You're allowed to enjoy things. You know what? I watched Space Jam 2. I enjoyed it. I did. It is what it is.
You're a loser.
And that's fine. That works. I've heard it enough times. I'm a loser. Okay. But you know what?
You're a loser.
I'll pop the movie on and I'll be good. I'll be good. I'm not saying it's the greatest movie ever, but I walked away from Space Jam 2, and I was like, you know, it's not as bad as people made it out to be.
Baloney.
Yeah, that's fine. But for me, it was fine. I'm going to watch it. It's just, I don't need to police what other people are watching. If you ask me to watch it with you, hey, Vince, you want to come over and watch, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some junk show that I got like two episodes in, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm good on this. But if you ask me, I just won't watch it with you. That's all it is. Like, people just want to watch what you want. But so the Hall of Fame game, anyway, that got, it got over 7 million viewers on it. Good. Like, it's the NFL. It's the big powerhouse of American television. So, yeah, like, people are watching this thing. People are excited about it. Am I expecting Dak Prescott to have the performance of his life coming back off of injury? Like, no. I know what it is. I don't even know if he got a snap, you know? Yeah, so it's just like, and he didn't. Who cares? Who cares? It's football. It's nice to see football players. That's all it is. It's background. It's something to enjoy in the background. Like, relax. So, 855-212-4227. That's how you join the show. 855-212-4227. We go to Dan in Greenville. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good morning. Gotta love talking football. Yeah, people who don't want to watch preseason, fine, but just get out of the way and let the rest of us enjoy it. It's nice to have football back.
Yep, certainly is.
Couple quick things before I hit Isaac Bruce. Peyton Manning is literally the equivalent of Disney's The Computer Wars initiative. Like, I remember coming out when he came out. It was kind of amusing that everybody had pumped up the competition for the top spot in the draft. It was like, and some GMs fell for it, and some people were saying that, you know, maybe he would go number two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're just like, this guy is so smart. Like, he's literally a coach on the field. And what, I mean, of any position in all of sports, where would you need another coach on the field? Well, at the quarterback position in football, I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah. No, but you know what it is? Part of it is ego, right? Because a coach or a GM is going to look at a player and go, I'm going to get the most out of this guy. I see the physical tools. Yes, they're an incredibly talented player. But I'm so smart that I'm going to make this guy even smarter. You know what I mean? Like, as long as he's got a big arm and I can coach him to do everything else, it's going to be fine. And sometimes, in a way, they're overthinking it. Just get the smarter guy if he's just as good a player. You know? Just do that.
Absolutely. And you see that every year in the first round of the draft. And sometimes with teams, way more often than others.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. You're right. Ego. Well, you don't get to that level without having some ego. You gotta get out some swag if you're gonna make it to the top of the mountain.
No, it's the truth.
But I wanted to say thank you for, you know, hitting on Isaac Bruce. You know, he doesn't get a lot of pub, and I was really happy to see him make the Hall of Fame. He got passed over a few times, and of all the spots, there's a log jam at wide receiver, and I was a little nervous he was gonna have to go in and make it in the Veterans Committee, but he got in. People forget how good he was. He came to St. Louis when the Rams moved from L.A., and he was just, I think, in his second year, and he was so good at turning a 90-degree angle and running such a precise route, he could shake any cornerback in the league. Nobody could keep up with him. He was at 2 foot of separation on a cut, and any wide receiver will tell you they're always open. Percent of the time, Magic Bruce can get open on any route within 20 yards.
Yeah.
And one of the plays that most people forget about is when St. Louis won the Super Bowl, that first play on offense, Minnesota drove down in the playoffs, kicked the field goal. Opening play, Warner hits Bruce about 25 yards downfield on a cross around the middle of the field. He takes it the rest of the way, all the way for a touchdown. And that play couldn't be louder if you pumped in extra noise. Like, it was nuts because everybody was curious, and they had Randy Moss and Chris Carter, and you were like, it was actually a little nerve-wracking for that first playoff game against Minnesota, because you're like, Minnesota's got Randy Moss and Chris Carter.
Yeah.
They get the shootout, they can knock off St. Louis. Well, they kicked that field goal, and you're like, okay, good, the defense held. You know, give three, let's see what we do. First play, Isaac Bruce, boom, all the way down. And then he finishes it against Tennessee, catching that touchdown pass, even though Mike Jones made the tackle, you know, which sealed it. But on offense, you know, Isaac was so good, and you could not ask for a better human being. Like, there's tons of great guys in all professional sports. But I firmly believe that if Isaac never played professional football coming out of Memphis, he still would have been a great human being and would have done amazing things. And he continues to do amazing things in the community of St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I just really wanted to say thank you. One last thing. The one year he hit almost 1,800 yards, it was funny. He broke Jerry Rice's single-season record that year for yardage. The only problem is Jerry Rice also beat.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that, Dan. It's completely insane, and I appreciate it. Because, like, I'm looking up the stats, and I see those numbers. And for the site that I use, they highlight if that's the record or that's the league leader that year. And he wasn't the league leader. I was like, wait, he got 1,700 yards in, like, 1995, and he wasn't the league leader? That explains it. Jerry Rice. It's just completely amazing, man. Jerry Rice's work ethic is one of the most unbelievable things you'll ever see in your life. I remember years ago they showed a training regiment video of what Jerry Rice did in a given day. Mind-blowing. Just completely mind-blowing stuff. But that's how you become the GOAT. Now, 855-212-4227. That's how you get in. 855-212-4227. We've been talking a lot about Hall of Famers. We're going to talk about the big name, the big guy, the sheriff. I love that nickname. Peyton Manning. It's coming up next. Keep it here.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.